and welcome to Motorcycles and Misfits here at the Recycle Garage in Santa Cruz. Tonight we've got me, this is Liza, we got Douglas.
Sick.
We got Donut.
Yo.
Zoe. Hey. And Lucas.
What's up?
So let's catch up what we did in the garage today. And just a reminder for anyone who's just discovering us or finding out about us, we're a co-op garage where anyone can drop by. We help each other work on bikes, and they help us, and we mentor, teach, make fun of, prank, whatever. That I'm sure that that squeaky is going to come across good.
We should probably start.
Not until you said something.
No,
it was silent until you said something.
You'll probably hear it, though.
So we continue to get new people because, as we said earlier, the Slugs of Anarchy have discovered us.
Slugs of Anarchy.
They're more like worms coming out of the woodwork.
It's slugs.
So let's recap today. Let's see. Well, Jake came back. Jake, the new Zoe.
What does that make me?
I don't even know what
that
means.
Why do we call her the
Why don't
new
you explain
Zoe?
That? Because I'm kind of lost.
I'm a Doug.
When Zoe showed up, she was just eager to learn. She didn't know anything. And at first, it's just this very awkward thing. Where do I stand? What do I do? Who do I help? Just very awkward, and then you kind of get more comfortable and you fit in, and
so
then you start learning more and more.
Yeah, I was.
Well,
like
you were kind of the last
yeah.
one. You're the new. She's the new Zoe.
So then the new person's gonna be the new Jake.
Maybe.
Gotta get really. Mad.
Well, meaning because you stuck around, a lot of people come and go, right. But then there are some that just stick around and kind of get invested into this. And I think she's invested in it because, well, she turns out she's 15.
Right.
Good thing we found that out today. After I put her on the bike.
Oh, Lucas. Aren't we glad we found out how old she is today?
Shut up, Doug. Shut up.
So, Jake is, so 15, interested in bikes. Teaching her to ride.
Yeah, but we need to get her on Hank. Even if it's like a little thing.
Oh, sure.
Her eye is just lit up when...
I thought because her... because she came through people who ride that we know. I thought she was older. I thought she kind of knew how to ride or at least how to drive a stick shift. I didn't find out she was 15 until I had her on the bike and was teaching her. She didn't know what anything was. What's this? That's the clutch. Well, what's this? That's the brake. Oh, shit. Don't you know how to drive a... car? No, I'm only 15. Okay. So I stuck her on the XL175, and she was doing pretty good. I mean...
She finally got the clutch to fully let out and got into gear for a little bit.
Here's the thing, though. That is a kickstart-only bike. Most people start on a bike. They're not... don't have the learning curve of how to kickstart a bike, especially when you're this tiny little girl who could barely reach over the bike to hit the Kickstarter. But
she's
then,
not that short.
Hmm?
She's not that short. She's like 5'6", 5'5".
Well, compared to me, everyone's tiny.
Well, I'm 5'8", so I'm like, she's not that short.
You wear lifts?
No, I do not wear lifts. No. There are motorcycle boots.
With extra cushioning.
No.
All right. So we were playing on the XL175. She was paying attention and doing good and just having her walk it, not put her feet up, but just learn the clutch. And then we threw her on the Trail 70, which is very sketchy. I told her, even people who are experienced riders end up on their ass.
I told her that, like, I crashed one of these bikes and I got scars. And then she kept...
Yeah, it's not a beginner bike.
I know.
How did she end up on it?
Well, she wanted to take the XL175 for a ride.
The XL?
That was the first time I've ridden in 2 months. It was amazing.
Sure. The XL is not the trail, though. It's just the shifting on the trail.
I know.
Is what throws off
I just wanted
everybody.
To, she, yeah. I threw on her. And I took a picture. Of course, I didn't have gear for her, so I put her in the welding jacket and the Evil Knievel helmet.
Yeah, that
would stay. I should have put her in the bunny suit, but yeah. Then we got her on the Trail 70, and I was working with the other guys, and I put Zoe with her. And I look over and I just hear, and I see that wheel go up in the air.
She almost lost that
And she
bike.
Didn't bail. She rode it out, got the wheel down, and found the brake and came to a stop. I was quite relieved. I thought it was a 50-50 chance she'd hit a car or a building.
Yeah, that was... was a moment of anxiety.
So she did very well today.
How might she get the wheel up?
Oh, it was up about this high. I mean, it was full up.
It was up to her head.
It was like, full up.
So for our viewers, that's like 9 or 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. It was
higher than Douglas got it when he was trying to wheelie.
Of course, that's what happens when you don't try. Like, stuff like that happens.
But she did good. Let's see. Luke came by on his FJ1200.
Uh-huh.
And you helped him.
Yeah. Somehow... Well, his clutch was loose. It's a hydraulic clutch.
How did he get it here with a clutch?
He says, "Oh, once you get going, the shifting's fine."
You should have seen him when he came in. I saw that. That was the most sketchy stop ever. He goes to pull the clutch in, and the bike lurches forward and just clunks to a stop.
So basically, he was out of fluid in his hydraulic clutch.
Yeah.
There is no way.
We must have.
He still didn't change his tires either. He's like.
He's going to. He told me he's going to.
You could pull the clutch in all the way, and it was there was no resistance. There was nothing. Gone.
So anyway, we got the air out of his line, and it works fine now.
And then.
Then that brought me to the other issue that the brake
master cylinder.
Brake cylinder was the screw holes were fucked. So.
So we just drilled those out and tapped them out to the next larger size.
Is this the same together. Guy that took his bike down to LA with a fucked up back end? No.
Same guy. This is one of the new slugs. Mm. I don't know which one that is. So Luke seemed cool. He was actually so pleased he went and filled our fridge with drinks.
Nice.
Thanks to Luke. And then we had... Honey D showed up.
Honey Boo Boo?
Honey D.
Honey Boo Boo.
Who is that? I don't know.
Honey D is Dan, but we already have a Dan. So, Honey is the name of the CM that Douglas and Megan sold to him.
It's the
and that bike was named Honey. Oh. So, I was calling him Honey Daddy or just Honey D. So, when he showed up, he's like, "I don't know if you remember me." I'm like, "Yeah, you're Honey D." He's like, "Huh?" But yeah, just go with it.
He never mentioned the key either. I emailed him a couple months ago about how we found the spare key.
Oh.
He never got back to me. So
he says the bike is running great. He loves it. That's the petcock is leaking. He wanted to change out the gasket, and then I explained that you can't just buy a new petcock. He said, "Well, they're $50. I said, "Well,
find a used one."
Well, search around. You might find one cheaper. If not, it's worth it. And then... he has the milk crate on the luggage rack. It had cracked and was resting on the taillight.
So, was it that bad?
Oh, yeah.
I know the thing was a little bit cracked before we sold it to him.
No.
He must have put a crap load of weight on there.
Well, he had a milk crate on there. I was very proud of him.
Yeah, I saw that.
He fit a lot of lead in a milk crate.
And so I had him and Jake strip it all apart and take the whole rack off and brought it in here. Since I had the welding gear set up, and we welded it up, and I taught Jake how to weld a little bit, hence the welding jacket that she was wearing. So, and then sent him off. He was happy. And let's see, Lucas, you got some work done today. You want to tell your woeful tale?
You're gonna make me. Mm-hmm. But at least I get the chance to make myself sound like less of an idiot. So. If you guys had listened to like the last couple of podcasts, you probably heard about my CBR 600RR. Not running right, doesn't idle.
How long has it been out of commission?
Like 3 weeks. And you know what? It's my fault for being a lazy a-hole and just not doing anything about it. But I'm glad you brought Rich up because he helped me out for free today. That was really nice of him. I ended up getting a tow, putting my bike on the trailer. Taking it out to Rich's garage. He runs like a little, sort of, kind of like what Liza does, but it's more like a kind of professional mechanic thing, so you gotta pay him and everything, but he was a really good dude, and he looked at my bike, and I mean, it hasn't been idling right, so I tried messing around with the idle screw, and I tried testing all these components, and I couldn't figure out what it was.
Told you it was an idle screw.
I'm saying, Doug and I got into an argument, and it's called the throttle stop screw, but apparently I've realized
that idle set screw.
Don't know what the hell a throttle stop screw is.
Point to Doug. We need to keep a chart here.
So I was messing around with the idle throttle stop doesn't really do anything, and so I go there, and, you know, once it starts, the fast idle turns off, and it starts regular idling, it just goes like, bruh, 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 like it's really low, right? And so, you know, you naturally turn the idle screw, throttle stop screw, whatever, until you got the desired idle speed. It's 1400 RPMs on my bike is what the service manual recommends. But I had been turning it like all the way one way and all the way the other way, and it wouldn't do anything. And what he found out was that in... Well, let me just back up a little bit. What happened was I was...
You can't redeem yourself, so just tell it straight.
I need to talk about...
He's going to try. He's going to try. There's nothing.
I took it out to go to work, and I went to the corner, and I held in the clutch, and it died. And then I realized that it just, for some reason, over the course of a day, had somehow broke itself. And we found out that the throttle stop screw, over that 24-hour period, had retreated all the way out. For whatever reason, I have no idea what happened. What if, like, my housemates messed with it? I don't know. Or something happened.
He has an out. There you go.
Something happened.
Somebody else touched it.
Oh. Maybe you shouldn't be screwing with the Slugs of Anarchy so much and leaving so many angry notes.
You, yep. Okay. I had a very good reason
Hold on. I'm going to defend him here. I called him the passive-aggressive superhero by leaving notes. I'm going to defend him.
Advice. I'm not defending his advice. I'm just saying you might have made a few enemies.
Yes.
I'm okay with breaking a few eggs to make my omelet.
Yeah, someone at campus must have like just twisted your idle set all the way in and just busted the fucker.
This was.
I'm surprised they didn't leave you a note. This is what you get, fucker.
This is before that happened, before I actually wrote it out. So I really doubt that's the case. But anyway, somehow over that 24-hour period, the throttle stop screw just went all the way out, and so it was actually not even engaging.
And what happened, you screwed it back and forth.
Right. What happened was when I turned it all the way to the right to make it screw in, and it like got, you know, harder to turn, I thought that was when it was taut, like the cable was taut, and if I turned it anymore, I would break the cable. And I didn't want to do that. I have like a paranoia about being rough with technology, so
just get me, I break it. Doesn't matter.
Well, what Rich did.
What did Ridge do?
Rich is just like, I don't give a fuck, and he just turns this thing and he's like, oh, there you go.
As I just pulled into the garage from dropping him off, he calls me back, okay, we're just about done here. Come get me.
It's like 10 minutes later. Well, I'm just glad I got it fixed. I mean, if it was some... I'd rather be stupid and have it be something really stupid that I don't have to pay money or wait for it to be fixed than have it be some giant, unsolvable, and expensive problem. So I'd rather be an idiot.
There you go. So your bike is back.
Yeah.
That's good news.
I'm happy to have it back. I'm just happy to be back.
One more CBR back on the road.
Exactly. One more to go.
One more to go. Zoe's part came in.
So happy.
But no one was here to sign for it. So that...
you sent it to the garage?
Post office. No, to my parents' house, because they're more likely to be home during the week, is where I sent it.
Why do you have to get it signed?
Because the shipper
did that. It's a very expensive part, and somebody wants
it's an $8 part.
$4.
From Taiwan. I know.
Really? Is this like the wiring harness for the reg?
Yeah. So it's coming.
I just have to cut the existing wires and solder in the new one, right?
Yeah.
Right. You know, if you drive around the neighborhood, could find the mailman who has your package, and he will give it to you if you have this thing.
Yeah, but I wasn't here during the day. Mm. They sent it back to the post office.
It's still with the mailman. So
no, it's not. They send it back to the post office.
They do when the mailman goes back to the post office.
You got to get him like just after he leaves your house.
You just find him around the neighborhood.
If you're there.
I've done it multiple times. It's not that hard.
Yeah, I wasn't here is the point. Thank you, though.
Either way, I'm excited because CBR is going to be back on the road soon.
And then we had, speaking of electrical, Dan came back with his R1B, what is it again? His two-stroke.
The old two-stroke.
Thingy. It's called a RT1B. When I posted, hey, what topic should we talk about on the podcast? He responded, how about RT1B electrical?
Yeah, he needs to be learned.
So, Douglas, looks like you guys got it running. What was it?
It was Jim. Jim got it running.
Oh, did Jim come back?
No. I think whatever he did.
Just from his assessment earlier?
Well, I don't know, because I went to take Lucas to Rich's when Jim was still looking at it.
Right.
It was the points, yeah. They weren't properly calibrated, or he was spinning the flywheel, and there was not all the way disengaged.
Right.
And then when he went across it, it was not all the way engaged. So either the coil was all the way off all the time or all the way on. But either way, it wasn't good. It wasn't telling it to spark.
So he said it still runs like shit. But hey,
at least it was running. Completely flooded from kicking it so much that it was up from the header. It was spewing fuel.
That wasn't
onto
fuel. That was oil.
I thought it was gas because he flooded it.
It was a combination. It was just
I don't know. It was spewing liquid from the header.
Well, and then we had a couple new people. Some more slugs came. We had Enoch on his Vulcan 900, which looks fine, except he wants it to
blacked
be cooler
out.
And louder.
So I told him that
he wants it to be a Harley.
And
he wants it to be a Harley.
He wanted to get a bigger bike. I'm like, why do you need a bigger bike if you ride a cruiser? And he's just like, because I want to accelerate out to the front of the pack and just hang out there.
Basically.
Well, the Vulcan 900 can do that. It's got enough power.
I'm
and
just
it's
like,
light
why
enough.
Do you need more? Like, it's already pretty badass.
Yeah. And Gustavo and his, I guess, his girlfriend Serenity on his Gixxer 600, which did you.
Has been crashed.
Yeah.
At least once or twice.
I
told him to prioritize and make a list. Starting with the front rotors. They're warped.
The rotors are warped?
Rotors are warped.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I said, put that on top of your list, and then go down and check your pads.
What about the fork seals?
The fork seals will be replaced.
They're neat.
As long as the forks themselves are not pitted.
He
might need to get new forks.
And something about poor compression or something?
He says it needs a valve job. He said it has 40,000 miles on it. I'm probably never been done.
So it could probably use one.
It could probably use one, yeah.
Didn't you say there was also something wrong with this bike?
Well, it's missing fairing pieces. It has no cover on the seat. It's a bare phone.
Oh, you can walk up to it and pick up the phone off the receipt.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
There's not even any staples holding in the...
Yeah.
Fun fact.
This thing's a death trap, dude.
The Honda Shadow, the seat was never bolted down. You could just pick up that $400 Corbin seat and walk away with it.
Really?
That was my biggest fear. Someone was just going to steal my seat.
But nobody would think to steal your seat.
It's Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I can get 2 Cracker Rocks for this seat.
Right. They'll carry around.
Is your log not comfortable enough?
You can sell it.
Take this motorcycle seat.
You can sell it for 50 hobo dollars.
Oh, and Mike came to visit today with his broken ankle.
Yeah, he hung out with me all day.
So you missed this conversation. Remember originally he said that the insurance company was going to sell him back his bike for like $83.
Right.
Like, well, it's worth it. It's totaled out. Then it ended up being $175 after fees.
It's usually 10% of whatever the bike is, wasn't it?
But
whatever
then there
they
were
give you?
Fees.
Oh, yeah.
That he had to pay on top. So it's. That's shystery when they give you one price and then they add on all these taxes and fees and everything. Well, why didn't you quote that price?
America.
America.
Capitalism.
Oh, that was a good one.
Get that snot
you like
out.
Like it
though.
Now, huh?
So,
I hear myself breathing. And...
Zoe, we're going to start with you because you came up with a topic to discuss that I like.
Well, oh, yeah. let's just give Zoe a round of applause here. Welcome back.
Yeah.
We've been missing you.
Yay. Golf clap.
And right. You all have done a good job. The podcast has started getting back up without me. That's been really cool.
Thank you.
Like, seriously, that like makes that warms my heart to see that it continues without me.
Well, we've all decided that no one person has to be responsible. We all need to be able to share.
Yeah,
and
please go on.
You've updated the audio equipment quite nicely. It's actually like a professional setup in this garage.
Okay, I have to point some out. Sidebar: I'm a little scared because Josie the cat keeps going to that corner.
You think there's a possum in there?
There may be a possum back there, but she's kind of been freaking me out because she gets in there like she's crawling trying to get something, and I'm not sure. But there one time was a dead possum full of maggots back there.
So maybe there's another possum back there.
I don't know. But,
I feel gross
or
about
a rat or something.
Something. So the topic today I wanted to discuss was...
Why we ride.
I know that's kind of a broad question.
For the bitches, man.
Okay. You mean the Navajos?
Yeah, the Nova. No, oh, God, that's
horrible. You want to stay away from the hose.
The Nova. So, hose, Zoe, yeah. Why do you ride?
Because it's the only thing that makes me feel truly alive and in the moment. Like, seriously, that's it. It's a great form of transportation. Yearly, my insurance is less than I'd pay for a car in a month. On top of the registration and everything else. I love it. The community, there's just so many reasons why I ride now.
Okay, I just drew a parallel to being gay and being a rider. Is one born a rider?
Or is one made?
Or is one made? Does society make you a rider, or are you born this way?
I think you might, maybe a combination thereof, which is the biggest argument. It's like you have the innate rider in you, but then it's the dicks that get in your mouth that turn you gay.
Like, okay, you lost me.
I know what she's saying. I get what she's saying. Like,
I don't care what she's saying. It's exciting.
Well, I mean, like, I really like riding, but I only got into it like on accident, almost. You know, but I mean, it's still like a really big important thing to me. I'm just saying, you know, if those circumstances had not conspired to happen together to make me interested in writing, I probably would have never started. So.
Well, many gay people are married with kids and don't realize they're gay till later in their life.
They ditch the bitch and make
a
switch.
Many riders are married with kids and don't realize they're riders until they go to a Harley dealership.
Or until they have a midlife crisis.
And go to a Harley dealership.
They wait till they're 70, get their first bike, and wreck it.
But the question is, truly, is this something we're born this way?
There's a certain mentality that comes along with riding. I mean, it's pretty simple. You could be born into it. It could be in your environment, whatever. It's freedom. That's pure and simple. It's freedom. And
I'd agree.
Where you are, doesn't matter where you are. If you don't have freedom, riding gives that to you.
Now, would you guys say that people who ride share a common gene that may be a thrill seeker kind of gene?
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, maybe it's not true, but I think we're more
debate.
I think we're more prone to instant gratification as riders because there is that speed.
I think
it's like an instant adrenaline rush.
Well, that's a subset of riders.
Yeah, like you know, some people ride low and slow. Some people like me are douchebags who ride sport bikes. So,
and I can do both.
I think it's like what you want to get out of your riding experience. It can be different for everybody. So I think it's only common, you know, the only commonality is our love for two wheels, you know, the very basic dynamics of riding, nothing complicated or advanced.
So would you put a Harley rider, a dirt bike rider, and a sport bike rider in the same group?
I'll add to that. I'll add the Segway rider with the helmet that they have to wear.
No, let's take that Segway out. Put that back on the shelf.
But they're on two wheels.
No. We're also taking out the mopeds and the scooters. So we're going to put those back on the shelf, too. No, so those three groups, they ride for completely different reasons and completely different styles. Well, is there a common thread?
There is. I mean, it's just like you can, no matter what motorcycle you're on, you're a rider. You know, we're all grouped together in it, whether we like it or not. We are part of the same family. It's like, you know how they have classified animals, and they have, like, general groups, and they have specific groups, and they have, like, more specific groups. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all just a manner of looking at it. It's like a tree, more or less, a riding tree. And the very bottom at the roots is just the fact that you're on something with a motor and two wheels.
Okay.
Amen.
You lost me at tree. You lost me at dicks in mouth. I have no idea what's going on now. What?
You need to get up to speed.
Yeah, you might be getting a little old here.
But Liza, you've never had one in your mouth, so you don't know yet.
A motorcycle? So, Douglas, why do you ride?
I thought I was the first one to say.
Are you going to say it again?
The bitches, man. No. Seriously, though.
Seriously, bitches.
Seriously, it's the bitches in the house.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And a cool motorcycle jacket.
No, I love the thrill. It's number one. It's the adrenaline. It's seeing how far you can get in that turn and those oh shit moments that are scary. But when you're done with them, you're like, fucking hey, that was a good ride. And pushing yourself, knowing your own personal limits, Of course, the image is cool. I'm not going to fight anybody on that. I'm in a great motorcycle club, Vampires. It's a big family. I don't have any family out here. Yeah, community. So, just two or three major things. It's the fun, the image, the community. And it's just, it's easy to get around on a bike. You don't have to sit in fucking traffic. They're cheap.
Do you guys have any examples of people who get into riding for the wrong reason?
Yeah, I'm sure I can think of a lot.
Every member of the Slugs of Anarchy.
No!
There's some wrong good guys. There's some good guys.
I don't see what's wrong with that. They're just like I was when I started riding.
I'll say the person that gets the little scooter instead of a motorcycle. They should not be right.
Scooter people.
Like,
I have a friend who rides a Metropolitan and calls it her bike.
Yeah, so you have to set her straight, dude.
Like, honey, that's not a bike.
It's like, right. I'm not going to allow you to call it a bike anymore. Like, this is it. It's over. But, I mean, I think the worst reason you can get into riding is just to show off and be a douchebag. Because I will kind of debate you a little bit, Doug,
for
about
the image.
I will say that the image is the least important thing about riding. I'm not saying it isn't worth
it. Said the man sitting here in the Alpine Stars jacket.
I wear this because it's a good jacket.
Here's the thing. The image is the first thing you see about a rider. You see a motorcyclist, it's an image.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. The image is important to people who don't ride.
Well, I don't know if I don't care what other people think. I feel good. They're like, you know, when you get a brand new pair of sunglasses, it's your power glasses. You feel confident.
Hell yeah.
You like the way you look. Right, I love the way I think I look on a motorcycle. I don't care what everybody else thinks or what you think they look like. It's about the rider. What they think and their confidence.
Right. So, I get what you're saying, Doug, and I'm saying that there's two sides to that image. You're just reciprocating, you know, your own self-image, but there are people who ride for the bitches. Like, just to be a stun a douchebag, I want to show
and
off.
Right.
And
crash,
be
and
cool.
Then they stop riding.
Yeah, I want to be that guy on that bike that everyone notices. Like, that's bullshit.
Who rides around in first gear.
Yeah. Like, all the people that ride around my house.
You're lucky you found us.
So I think there are plenty of bad reasons for getting into riding. Another bad reason for getting into riding is, like, I guess for the image, but, you know. Oh, man, what's another? I guess I lost my train of thought. Someone else jump in.
That was good.
Thank you for the input, Doug. Thank you for doing that.
Okay, so
sorry.
There are people who get into it a lot of people get into it economically.
That's a good reason, though.
That was my original.
Okay, well,
when I finally did.
Except you just said the scooters.
Well, yeah, because in Santa Cruz you pay like $700, $800 for a scooter, or you can get a motorcycle that's shitty but running for like.
If they're getting into it for economical reasons, a scooter is the best.
Motorcycles are expensive. Scooters are not very expensive.
Yeah, the maintenance is a lot less.
The maintenance is much cheaper.
And
on
the
scooter
MPG
than on a
is a lot better too.
You know. You gotta, depending on how aggressively you ride, whatever.
I'll rephrase that. Maybe as somebody that's 6'3", a scooter just never
looks. I'm gonna go into a deeper train of thought here because.
Ooh, deeper.
Today I was riding the XL 175, and this guy on a scooter waved at me. Now, you know, I don't like acknowledging other scooters, but I realized, fuck, I'm on a little bike. It's about the same size as his. He thinks we're equal level.
Thinks we're equals.
I was like, oh, drove me crazy. But here's why I think I'm not harping on scooter riders. I think I separate it because people who ride scooters are doing it for an economical reason. They're not doing it because they like the thrill. They're not doing it because they want to get the hoes, the bitches, as you say. They're not doing it for the community that you get. They're doing it for only economical reasons. And so I think that's why I don't acknowledge them, because I am part of the community. Okay, Zoe, go ahead.
I know, I've been shaking my head. Liza, there's this new thing that's happening called the hipster. Which are very devout.
But they're doing it for the image.
And they're doing it for the image. They're getting scooters specifically because they think it looks cool.
Like fucking
two other hipsters. That's not me.
Yeah.
The small little subset.
How can they even sit down with those tight ass pants?
Dude, I see fucking hot girls on the back of tiny little piece of shit scooters all the time. Like, they obviously are pulling
I'm just saying, I think the reason that I don't acknowledge them is because they aren't choosing to be a part of this community and part of ride for the same reasons I do.
Okay.
Scooters are a good choice if that's the only reason you want to ride.
Makes
so
sense. Right. Scooters,
that's fine.
Transportation, motorcycle is a whole plethora of different.
Exactly. And I just now process why I'm so mean to mopeds and scooters, and that's why.
They
so,
don't get it, man.
But when you brought your friend Jessica today, because you said, hey, she wants to get in riding, what should she get? And she said, well, I want to ride around town, maybe hop on the freeway to Scotts Valley, which is 2 miles away.
Right.
I said, so do you want a scooter? I'm not going to, you know, say scooters are shit. That actually sounded like the reasons she wants to ride is not for all these other things. And then she did that like, no, why would I want a scooter?
She was like a fan.
No.
Well, right.
It's because you poisoned the water with our.
No.
You deigned to insult
me, sir? I started
hanging
out with Jessica back when I had the Shadow, like a year ago. And I always come over there, and she was never really interested in bikes. And then over time, she just kind of got more and more interested in motorcycles. So she was interested in learning about finding a motorcycle that fit versus a scooter. She's interested in possibly working on it and learning more of the ins and outs of the bike versus just riding it. So she's looking to get into the community, so to speak.
Right. My concern, though, is she had a budget of about $2,000, she said, which is plenty of money to buy a good beginner bike that's in good condition. But when I said you should take the MSF class, she said she can't afford it.
I know,
take $250 out of that $2,000.
I know the technical reason why it hasn't been done yet. It has something to do with her father and family issues and all that fun stuff.
Yikes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
I know her father. Great guy.
I'm just saying.
Nice save.
If you're listening.
If you're listening, Gene, I know you like podcasts.
What about the riders who just commute?
I think commuting is hardcore.
Yeah, that's like putting your ass on the line all the time.
Dude, like, I'll go out and drag knee in whatever road here in Santa Cruz County, but if you commute, like, lane splitting the whole way, like, every weekday or whatever, with all the fucking norps in their cars who are butthurt at you for lane splitting, like, that's a pretty intense experience. And a lot of people who stop commuting have expressed to me the fact that they're disappointed they don't have that anymore. Like, that was cool to them. It was hardcore. It was fucking stimulating, you know? So I think that's, like, that's a whole different thing in and of itself. It's pretty hardcore if you can commute every day.
Now, let's throw someone else into this group, the Why We Ride. What about the people who are the passengers? Have you ever seen, like, these groups of, like, retired couples on gold wings traveling around the country?
Sure.
And I'm always like, how do these, women... Usually it's the wife or such.
Don't discriminate.
How do they? Well,
there's.
How do they do that? Ride for thousands of miles on the back of a motorcycle.
Painkillers.
And why aren't they on their own? So.
They're using the Moto Bandito.
Moto passenger, Bandito back brace.
No, the passenger glue. Passenger stick 'em.
So, yeah, do we include those passengers that? That go for the long tour rides.
Did they? Well, I don't know. That's.
I think that's a tough one. But I guess, like you were talking about the scooter people, are they doing it for the same reasons? Are they just like? Are they just literally attached to a dude with a motorcycle, or do they like the motorcycle? I think you have to figure out the difference between those.
And what about the people who race but no longer ride on the street?
Those
people,
are just afraid
that.
Of getting killed for good reasons. So.
Yeah, that makes some sense.
That's a healthy fear.
Well, this
giant
brings up an interesting topic. There is a movie that recently came to my attention called Why We Ride. I don't know if you saw the link I put on the Facebook page.
Warning, if you are very emotional, it might make you cry. At least it made me cry like 10 times when I watched it 20.
Aww. It has that whole uplifting music.
Yeah, it's like, oh God, I don't know.
So it's a documentary about this topic we're talking about. And they're going to be playing it over in San Jose in a week or two, I think. But here's what I propose to y'all.
Going?
I'm not going. And let me tell you why. You can go to their website and you can join this, I forget which site it is, but basically the way it works is, do you want to bring our movie to your city? And then you click through, and it takes you to this site that if you get, you create a post, I think you hook up with one of the theaters, and if they can pre-sell 100 tickets, then they'll bring the movie. So you set a date. It's kind of like one of these fundraiser things,
like
right?
It's
like crowdfunding. So I'm proposing, if y'all will join me in it, we contact them and see if we can bring the movie to Santa Cruz. Do you think we can get 100 people?
Well, considering, I mean, vampires plus the garage itself, I mean, we've got a good community.
And the
basis.
Slugs.
Right. I mean, we could probably do that.
Put up flyers and
barf.
Hell, yeah. I mean, go down and be like, hey, tickets. You know,
I was looking where it's playing. It's only been playing down in L.A. and then San Francisco and then this one San Jose.
Emeryville, I think, is another one that's been playing on it.
Well, it just plays for one showing.
Right.
That's it. So it looks like a really cool movie. If you guys are into it, maybe we'll try and bring it to Santa Cruz. And for anyone else interested, you can check out the Why We Ride. It might be whywearide.com. I'm not sure. There's a trailer on YouTube and everything.
That is whywearide.com.
And you can also click on the Bring It to My City link and bring it to your city. It looks like a really cool movie.
Well, here's one thing I'm a little bit disappointed about. I wish it kind of had more of a mainstream release because people who aren't motorcycle riders should probably see it.
Right.
I think it's important everyone should see a movie like this.
Well, I've been following the movie for a little while. Originally, it only started in, like, one theater. And now it's actually gotten recently, just, like, last few weeks, it's had showings across the country. Now they're having an international release date set for it.
Oh, wow.
So, like, they're building up the steam behind this movie to get it more mainstream.
I really hope that a lot of non-writing people see this movie so they can kind of understand what we're about.
I mean, realistically, if they were able to pick up distribution rights and have it sent to the majority of the theaters in the United States, it might do okay.
So I want to take this opportunity to introduce one of our new advertisers, motobandito.com. We've been trying out their products. We've been mentioning it. And we got a review right here. Hey, Davey, what did you get to try?
The exhaust system amplifier.
Wow, was it easy to install?
As easy as 1, 2, 3.
Does it require a power source?
No, it uses internal turbine technology.
What does it sound like?
With its adjustable settings, it goes from MotoGP to a custom Harley with a flip of a switch.
How loud is it?
We have a dB meter here at the shop, and it gets a reading of 116, just enough to set off car alarms and impress the ladies.
And we're back. So I would like to now bring up...
Boy, you're not going to go over how that product almost killed me yesterday?
No, not today.
Oh, damn.
So I would like to bring up a movie that Douglas and Lucas and I watched last night called Charge. One of you want to
narrated by take a wild guess.
Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor, yes. Actually, he only narrated a short portion of it, or short portions. It's not like a full-on hour and a half of him talking.
I was disappointed. I wanted more Ewan McGregor.
I know.
I wanted more Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor.
I'm from Scotland. I'm Ewan McGregor.
Anyway, it was really interesting.
It's about
the 2009 and 2010 premiere of electric motorcycles at Time Trials in Isle of Man.
Sweet.
And how bad they suck.
For
Doug,
now,
you're such
for
a hater.
You look
at them and you're like, look at how crappy they are compared to real motorcycles. I'm looking at them. I'm
you
like,
didn't even
shit,
let me
they made
finish.
An electric bike. That's
that
this
works.
Fucking awesome.
You didn't even let me finish.
You want to mention some of the teams?
No.
I'll mention some of the teams.
The end.
I don't remember the
teams. They focused a lot on Team MotoCiz, who was like the,
Let's oh yeah, team Agni and Team MotoCiz. Yeah. No, Team MotoCiz was using Agni motors.
They had what was that one? Best Buy team. They had something like that. They had
Team
that,
Torque from India.
Yeah, they had Team Torque. Then they also had those dudes who were actually from the Isle of Man. I can't remember their team name.
Yeah, I can't remember.
They were in it too, and those are the ones I remember.
Okay, I want to interject. The Mission R motorcycle. I saw this like a month ago. I want the production bike. It's currently for sale. It is a sexy looking bike.
So when the movie first started, though, it was basically they were going over how people weren't accepting of these electric motorcycles. It's kind of how they set it up, like all these British people really talking.
In a movie, though, all you got to do is put 5 testimonials of people who are against it, and then it makes it seem really like people are against it.
But it's interesting. And,
and then later on, they put 5 in that were for it. And you're like, oh, well, the world is okay now.
But they're showing the...
You figured it out, Doug. We have to kill you.
They're showing the gas-powered bike. And then they show here comes the electric bike. And it's like anticlimactic.
I think it sounded cool. It sounds like fucking
sounds like a fucking space agent.
Maybe we should tell Moto Bandito that there's a demand for, you know, electric motorcycles that need to sound like real sport bikes.
Well, the cool thing is the giant ass speaker. Is that with Mission R bike, the actual engine is capable of a lot more power output than it currently does. They currently limit it based on the battery capacity.
Well, here's the thing.
Is that the one that they were showing in the movie?
Yeah.
No, that's not the one they show in the movie. The Mission R is the one that they're trying to sell right now. I think it's, like, approved for production, and they're just trying to find enough people who want to buy it.
It has over 126 foot-pounds of torque at any RPM.
Well, okay, here's the thing. They keep spouting all of these information about why it's 3/4 more powerful, but then they'd show them... going, it's like they're nowhere near as fast enough.
They just can't go flat out because the range is like nothing, and the whole things they were limited by in that film were the fucking batteries.
Right. Well, yeah, but did you also look at the back sprocket? That's huge. Yeah.
And the motors.
Yeah,
burning out motors.
Yeah,
if they were to bring down that rear sprocket.
That, like, electric bikes were not really things people made yet then, so there was not a whole lot of R&D that went into those bikes. So
by 2009, there's not necessarily in the motorcycle world, but definitely in... because the NIMs were out by then. They've been out for a long time.
True, but like this is the first time anyone really tried to do something like this. So I would say that...
They've been drag racing electric cars for at least a decade before that.
Yeah, bikes are different. Bike is a whole different... Yeah.
Bikes are different.
I mean, it's a whole different package. The battery density that you have to get for a motorcycle is so much greater for a car for a short stint.
Right.
Well, here's my experience in seeing over the years at some of the races where they have been having the AMA races, the electric bikes. You don't know who won because everyone has broken down at some point. And it's hard to tell. The winner was the one who finished. It wasn't like it's a close race. No, it's who managed to get their bike running again and then cross the finish line.
This is actually an argument for those bikes.
So this race at the Isle of Man was kind of like that. Everyone was breaking down.
At least at the beginning.
What I found very interesting about this documentary, it seemed to be right on that cusp where there's huge leaps and bounds in the technology and the exploration of these electric bikes. And so the movie was very fascinating in that we watched them where it seemed like very slow. And they're trying to tweak all of this stuff, even though they're explaining how simple it is.
Right.
There's only 2 parts to the motor, not 187.
Right.
Yet
you've got one
they couldn't get them for whatever reasons, you know, across the line. And finally, by the end of the movie... they were...
What I don't get is...
At the end of the movie, they started showing, like, the successive years after that, like, the next 2 or 3 years. And I remember they said that in the 2010 race, they said the first bike to go over 100 miles per hour average speed would get, like, a cash prize. And so they kept showing how they got faster and faster, and finally, a few years later, they had the first bike to break 100. It was, like, 100.
Average speed. Now, these bikes were getting, like, 140-ish.
Yeah.
Miles per hour. They get their speeds up. Something I rather enjoyed is that the electric bikes have to be outfitted with horns.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a large problem with hitting birds.
Huh.
Hmm.
They can't hear you coming and they don't get out of the way.
Right, because the way the sound moves to the air.
So they put horns on their bikes. Sometimes just if you're in a corner and you don't know if there's somebody around the corner, so you have to remember this is in a city, they beep their horns in the race. They beep their horns going around these tight corners, or if there's a bird in the road.
Non sequitur, I almost hit a seagull the other day. It was in the middle of the freeway, waddling across the freeway.
Oh, geez.
So
oh.
It wasn't flying when you hit it, it was just standing.
See, this
it was
waddling.
You better watch your head.
I know.
Your cat's gonna
exhaust amplifier.
What they could do is put the, you know, the playing cards with the clothespin in the rear spokes, and you can hear them coming.
Yeah. What would it sound like at those speeds? Like the wheels just going too fast.
Okay, Josie the cat is up on a shelf above my head that has things precarious and balanced.
It looks really sketchy.
I don't know where she's going.
Should we take a break so you can grab her?
No, I mean she's gonna have to turn around at some point. It's kind of
get the squirt bottle right there.
No!
No, don't throw anything at
it. Josie, what is your plan? Where are you going? You're at the end of the show.
She doesn't know. She's a dumb cat.
No.
Well, now we just lost another thing up there.
Now she's just going to search for the cap. Okay, good.
It's a bottle cap.
So, what do you think of the movie?
Well, I wanted to know why they weren't using brushless motors right off the bat. That Agni motor?
Isn't that newer?
No.
Well, the RemotoSys team only switched to it after they, like, got their shit.
Well, their main problem was that their motors were blowing up.
Yeah.
Right.
Because of the brushes.
Right.
You use brushless motors.
And the 1 year they switched to brushless motors, like 2010 or 2011,
things
it was like,
right.
It went so much better.
It's so much more efficient.
Yeah.
And, less heat.
That,
yeah.
Again, go Mission or motorcycles. They finally got a production bike that's not complete shit and that's reliable. And the cool thing is, in the future, once graphene batteries are more perfected, you'll be able to actually drop in an upgraded battery pack in that bike, and you'll get better speed and performance out of
Electric bikes are the future, and basically, it's only a matter of time until we get the batteries down, and that's it.
Well,
once we have the batteries down, then DARPA's Atlas project will have walking Terminator robots.
You know, all I gotta say is loud pipes save lives.
I keep forgetting he's here.
They can't hear you when you're behind them. Sound doesn't work that way.
Loud pipes save lives. Ride Harleys.
I don't think loud pipes save lives at all.
So, do you truly believe that electric bikes are the future?
I do.
Yeah.
Because, like, the only things that are limiting their potential are just, you know, a number of technological hurdles. Once we're over them, they're just going to, like, you can only go so efficient with motors, right? And motor technology keeps increasing, but, you know, the curve is not as big. With electric bikes, the curve will be huge.
No, the electric is going to be the next big thing, because they found that if you can make a battery dense enough, the best use for electric motors is actually aircraft, because they're so efficient compared to the traditional way that we're using with fuel.
You know, zero emissions. It's so much cheaper to have an electric vehicle than a gas-powered vehicle.
The world is literally waiting for the next battery.
Yeah, but with the way everything's breaking down now, there's no way they're getting that on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's only a matter of time until they make it reliable. The first cars are pieces of shit. Like, they couldn't figure that shit out then. But it just takes time. You know?
And how long has the electric motorcycle been in the works?
You know how long the electric car has been around?
The electric car.
Exactly, and it's still shit.
That's because
how are they going to put that on a fucking plane?
It's not the Prius, it's the driver. They just happen to drive Priuses.
Goddamn right. Priuses.
So, technologically, Lucas, you're correct. I think that the bikes are going to be equal to or possibly better than bikes we have now.
They will surpass
gas. But Donut brought up a really good point.
What?
Exactly like I said in the race. Why do they put horns on these bikes?
Because they're quiet.
But
so we're going to be bringing up a whole new bevy of accidents.
This is
because
just playing dubstep, going through the corner. Wow, 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 wow. I mean, you know,
sound doesn't travel fast enough.
But that's the same thing with the pipes, like.
Pipes are reverberations.
Think about what this is going to do for dirt biking. Cheaper. You're not going to need to have any kind of spark arrestor. You can ride in any kind of terrain.
Well, that's where the
Hold on. The noise. You're going to be able to do something in your backyard because your neighbors are not going to fucking complain.
I just thought about this.
And they're closing off some off-road recreational areas because people are complaining and there's fire danger. So you can ride year-round now in the highest. You know.
That's why all the electric bike companies that exist now started with dirt bikes. That's the most obvious.
Right.
That's why the Zero is like
we have right here in our backyard. Woo. Zeros. So, but we're talking about street applications. My dad just bought an electric car.
Tesla?
Isn't it Nissan Leaf? It's a Leaf, I think. You got
a
Leaf. So, their other car is some hybrid thing. Now, we went to go up to San Francisco and
with a Leaf?
No. It's an hour and a half away. And I said, are we taking Leaf? He goes, no, you can't. You maybe make it there and back, but I don't want to risk it.
I was going
to
say,
why do you buy a car that you can't drive an hour and a half and then back?
Well, they got charging stations.
We just need more charging stations.
This is why I haven't bought a Zero motorcycle.
Does the car have solar panels on it?
Liza,
so it can charge while he's at work.
You do take more cycles.
I don't understand that. Why electric cars don't have?
You've got the
solar panels on.
You're the one that says you've got a motorcycle. Meaning, like every shoe, you've got use for every motorcycle.
As the motorcycle technology comes up, we need to have that support coming up.
I know a guy owns a Zero, and he says it's somewhere between 25 and 35 miles, depending on how hard you ride it. And that's all you get.
Right.
And it's just the battery technology.
But Zero, though, granted, Zero doesn't have, at least last time I checked, they didn't have really any proprietary battery technology. They were taking battery tech from other companies.
Yeah.
Versus, like, Tesla, they've recreated their own battery technology that's really highly dense and you can hold a lot. Mission R has their own battery technology. Like, they own, that company originally started out as a battery technology company. They built the Mission R motorcycle as a testbed platform to show that electric power is here. It can power this fucking motorcycle, it can power your car, and maybe one day it'll power more.
You know that they sell two motorcycles, the Mission R and the Mission RS. Mm-hmm. And the RS has some special fucking sci-fi crazy batteries that like double the range or something like that. So the tech is increasing. We can see with their own eyes that things are changing and they're getting better. And like I said, you know, they'll surpass gas motorcycles eventually. It's just a matter of time.
Could be wrong, but Mission R also licenses their technology for the batteries to other car manufacturers. So, like, I think maybe the Leaf, there's a couple of them on the market right now that are actually, basically, the why they exist is because Mission R was there, or Mission was there to do it.
So how far away, Lucas, do you think we are before you would buy an electric bike?
Well, it's like with every emerging technology, even once they get it perfect, it's still going to be really fucking expensive. So you have to wait for all the rich people to go buy them. Then the technology starts becoming more produced in, you know, greater and greater quantities lower prices.
And then they have the production facilities to make those quantities. Right. So they want to keep making stuff.
Cost of production goes down, and then it starts becoming more affordable. So I'd say within the next 20 years, we'll have the perfect electric bike.
They have to make money on the crappy technology first. So at any given time, we are at least 5 to 10 years ahead of what is on the shelf. And that's for any technology.
Right. So, but I think, like, by the next 20 years, we'll have, like, the perfect electric bike. But it'll be maybe like another 30 until people can start breaking into it. Because the Mission RS is like $60,000.
Yeah, but will people break into it? That's the big point.
This is the thing, though. I don't know if that's necessarily true. The main reason why is that the battery technology is so expensive, but the graphene batteries are actually really easy to manufacture.
And why are they so expensive?
Because the techniques are still being developed.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, they're not mass-producing them in a fucking factory.
Not yet.
So.
Well, let me tell you something I liked about what we saw in this movie. When you blow a motor, how easy it is to replace.
It's just, you know, the size of a football, maybe, not even.
They made a very good point. I've got a bike over here that has something in the engine has died. How many working pieces are there in there that could have gone wrong that I have to go through?
I see it.
The electric bikes, batteries, and some of them that had just these cells, you could swap out or add banks of cells as you want. I can see this, that you get a bike and you can beef up the suspension and do all this stuff. So what if you blow motors or batteries? Easily swap them out. You could have three on a shelf.
Yeah.
You know? How are the dealerships going to make money on that?
Exactly, right?
Yeah, they're going to make them totally proprietary.
The dealership isn't needed anymore. I mean, Tesla sells directly to the customer. Mission R sells directly to the customer. We don't need dealerships.
You need a dealership to mass produce them. I mean, like, if you need to get them in the hand of every NORP, you need to have a dealership. Because they're on, like, a contract sort of thing. The only people who buy from them are, like, rich people with hell of money to throw around, and they're like, I think today I shall buy an electric motorcycle. And they go call up Mission, and they say, I would like my motorcycle, please. Like, for people to actually get them all.
That might be true, but you have to realize that dealers, I mean, there's a lot of fees involved there. There's a lot of money that can be shaved off the top of a production vehicle if you don't have to deal with a dealership. And since websites and everything else are so available...
You know, I feel like maybe if you just ordered one and they just, like, mailed it to you or something.
No, that's kind of how they do it. I mean, with the electric bike especially, I mean, you don't have oil in there, you don't have gas in there, everything's inert, so you don't have to worry about blowing up or getting damaged in shipping.
Once they get the reliability down, it'll be, like, practically a zero-maintenance vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, I disagree completely with you guys.
Why?
There's no way people are going to be buying electric motorcycles over... regular motorcycle.
Once the performance gets better than gas motorcycles?
Not even, dude. People are going to be killed right and left. The only reason you don't die when you're lane splitting in traffic is because people hear you coming up
and they don't switch.
I really disagree with that.
Can we?
The reason I don't get killed is because I see them when they're about to move. And then, I've been in a car when people lane split past you, and it's all you hear is just... Like, you only hear them once they're already past you. Yeah. And the Doppler effect
the stereo
basically
up.
Guarantees...
Unless you're in first gear.
And you can't rely on other people to hear you.
Yeah. If you rely on other people to hear you,
you should be you should be pretending that you're on a soundless bike all the time.
Right.
And
that's how you pretend.
It'll make
but
you
in
better
reality, people will hear your motorcycle. And when you're riding a motorcycle people can't hear, there's way more chances.
Sure. It might even be 2-3 times a year that someone hears you and says, "Oh, but every other day."
2-3 times are enough to keep you alive.
All right, Donut, let me ask you this. Why then can't there be flashing lights? Do you guys know, and I thought about if Mike had had this, it might have saved his life. Do you guys know about the
headlight modulator?
Headlight modulator.
Can't have them.
Why?
Wait, what?
I asked Rich today, and he said that the only people who are allowed to have headlight modulators are the police.
Really? I thought they were legal in California.
You can buy them. It doesn't mean it's legal to have on your bike.
So, for people who don't know what a headlight modulator is, it has a daytime-nighttime sensor. So, at nighttime, it does not modulate it. In the daytime, it causes your headlight to act like a strobe, flash, 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 flash.
It's a low, very low frequency, though. It's not like a really fast strobe. It's
so it gets your attention. So, Donut, what I'm saying to you is there's the possibility you can use lights to let people know that you're coming.
Okay.
I mean, there's one idea.
I mean, how do you use lights in the daytime?
Because
that's the
it's
point.
Flashing,
you can see them.
You can see them.
It's a flashing light. It gets your attention. If you ever see a modulated headlight, you'll know. You see it coming.
Yeah. Then they're almost like it's almost hard to not see them after, like they're in your view because it's just.
I was actually going to propose that we get some modulated headlights.
So how do you see a flashing light when you're, you know, coming around a blind turn?
How do you
or coming up to a blind intersection?
Well, if you're in a blind turn,
you can't hear the bike anyway unless you are like going 10 miles an hour with your windows down.
The effectiveness of this has been debated. I mean, people put them on because they think they'll work, but there's never been any real kind of studies done on it.
Well, I do want to take a second to say how fucking cool these bikes looked. Do you agree, Lucas?
Yes, yeah. The Moto says, like, they made the first one looked like some kind of... It looked kind of like a real swoopy-looking sport bike, kind of like the Mission motorcycles. And then they kind of got progressively more and more... crazy looking, and then the one they raced in 2011 had just like this tiny little, almost barely there bucket seat, and just like this huge fat middle with like,
one looked like it
batteries.
Came straight out of Terminator 2,
that
and then one looked like it came out of Tron.
I love the way they did the suspension on that bike; it's just fucking crazy.
It's pretty cool.
Plus the batteries had LEDs on them.
Yeah, it's a
light up. Oh my god!
It was pretty showy. It was pretty showy. I could see they put a lot of time and effort into designing a really good looking motorcycle.
And
they made electric look sexy, that's for sure.
What did you guys think about the fact that they were hooking up with a company out of India to make them cheaper? Did that matter to you?
No.
No.
They manufacture them the same. Like, who cares?
Half my stuff
as long as their tech support's not in India.
Moto
Sis
was saying, I'm an American bike made in an American, you know, in America.
Who cares about
And then,
America?
You know, these other companies are like, well, we're going to hooking up with this Indian company to make it cheaper.
Okay, well, okay.
Does that matter?
Think about it this way. India has a mass portion of their, like, commuters are on motorcycles. Like, it makes so much more sense for them to make an electric motorcycle over there than over here.
Yeah.
Gas is more expensive.
No, I think they're making it there for our market.
Yeah.
It's not for the Indian market.
Well, I appreciate...
And there's cheaper places they can go.
Well, I appreciate the fact that Sis wanted to, you know, be like, America, you know, and, like, do
America,
everything here and everything, but, like... That realistically is going to put them at a pretty massive disadvantage in terms of price point. You know, it's a lot more expensive to manufacture in America. It's just the way of the world, you know.
Well, if you would like to share your opinion on any of these topics, feel free to share them with us. You can reach us at recyclegarage@gmail.com. Did I get it right?
Wait,
no.
Dang it.
Recycle motorcycle garage.
Holy crap.
@gmail.com.
Or you can send an
recycle
email to info@motorcyclesandmisfits.com.
recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook. You can find us there at facebook.com. Whatever that slash is,
/ /recycle.
So
recycle
here.
Santa Cruz.
Just,
that's
savvy.
What it's under. I now have it. Recycle Santa Cruz.
Sweet.
You can rate us on iTunes. We'd love to hear your opinion there.
Check us out on SoundCloud, where we post every podcast there first. So if you want to listen to it right away, then check us out there.
And we're at motorcyclesandmisfits.com.
First one to send us an email gets a free t-shirt.
Really?
I'm getting tired of saying this.
You don't count. The only people sending emails are people who already have a shirt.
So send us an email and your address, and we'll send you a free recycle shirt.
We will literally send you a free shirt. All you have to do is send us an email.
And your private address so we can stalk you for a few days. Make sure you get it.
Bring me to your garage and see what kind of bikes you ride first.
Thank you for listening. Again, this is Liza. We got Douglas. Got Donut.
Yep.
Zoe.
Hey.
Lucas.
What's up?
We're out.
Cool.